This episode is produced with support from Drugs for Neglected Diseases Initiative.
In tropical countries, we have a number of unique diseases not found elsewhere in the world. And these diseases are often quite debilitating. Imagine thousands of worms in your intestines sucking away your nutrition. Or trachoma, one of the most painful types of blindness in millions of people. Elephantitis, you've surely seen pictures of those swollen limbs and know how stigmatizing and painful it can be. And there are many more. These conditions are not just bizarre and life-threatening, but have a deeper story to tell. Neglected tropical diseases, NTDs, can often be debilitating, stigmatizing, and can cause lifelong disabilities, and they affect more than 1 billion people globally. However, some are also preventable and treatable. Many organizations around the world are trying to look for solutions. In this episode of the Nature India podcast, we speak to health professionals on the challenges and way forward for such diseases, especially in the context of India. Priscilla Rupali, an infectious diseases expert at the Christian Medical College in Vellore, specializing in dengue, tells us why these diseases are still neglected.
Neglected tropical diseases are diseases which occur in the tropics, usually in the low middle income country settings. And this is basically because of either uncontrolled vector proliferation, and the other one is basically lack of access to safe and clean drinking water. There are about 13 neglected tropical diseases as they have been designated by the WHO, which cause a fair degree of morbidity and mortality globally.
The WHO says NTDs affect more than 1 billion people globally. They are preventable and treatable. However, these diseases and their intricate interrelationships with poverty and ecological systems continue to cause devastating health, social, and economic consequences. If you look at India, what are the key reasons for morbidity and mortality here?
I think it's dengue and rabies which actually cause the greatest amount of mortality. Dengue has such a high incidence in the country, and periodically we have outbreaks. And if you look at the National Vector-Borne Disease Control website, there are about 100,000 cases that have been recorded. But probably the incidence is much larger because of underreporting, as well as the disease itself, which in many cases, people may not really access healthcare facilities. So the disease is grossly underreported, and there's a huge burden in the country. The second one is rabies. And rabies, as you know, actually has 100% mortality. That the moment you do get the disease, you actually die from it pretty much, whether it is, you know, within a couple of days or whether it takes 2 weeks.
Several conditions disproportionately affect children compared to adults, and children are often simultaneously infected with multiple parasitic entities. Despite this, there is limited information on current efforts to increase pediatric therapeutic options. Winsley Rose, a professor and pediatrician at the Christian Medical College in Vellore, tells us about entities in children and the availability of treatment and vaccines for them.
The most commonly prevalent neglected disease, which also has probably the highest mortality, is dengue. So this is more so among children, and there are vaccines in development. The earlier vaccine called Dengvaxia, used in many countries, did not work very well. And there is a recent vaccine by Takeda, which is actually undergoing trials, and we hope they will be available for use in the market in probably a few years' time.
For children under 5, the most ubiquitous tropical infection is reportedly malaria, followed by the 3 major soil-transmitted helminth infections and dengue.
The main reason why worms have been included in the neglected tropical diseases is that there are a set of, 7 worms, which are all called geohelminths. So these soil-transmitted helminths, if you take care of them, they are potentially eradicatable. I mean, using certain measures, which could be mass deworming, building toilets. The other neglected disease, about 20 to 30,000 people die in India every year because of rabies. And more than half of these deaths happen among children less than 15. It's got a very effective vaccine. We have a very good strategy to actually prevent somebody from developing rabies. But the gap is in the knowledge that somebody who's been bitten by an animal needs to go to the doctor and get vaccinated against rabies. I think the key is awareness that if you get bitten by an animal, you need rabies shot. Vaccinating dogs is another important feature, which is probably the most cost-effective strategy in preventing rabies, but we are not there yet.
Until recently, the Indian subcontinent accounted for 60% of the global burden of kalazar. Over 40% of the global population requiring mass drug administration for lymphatic filariasis. Elimination is in Bangladesh, India and Nepal. Satyabrata Rautrai, Director for Neglected Tropical Diseases at the Global Health Nonprofit, PATH, helps us understand entities in India.
We have the National Vector-Borne Control Program based out of the capital here, which is renamed recently as National Center for Vector-Borne Disease Control. It includes visceralis meningitis, lymphatic filariasis, malaria, Japanese encephalitis, AES, dengue, chikungunya, Zika. There's an elimination strategy for kalazar or visceralis meningitis, which is prevalent is 3 or 4 states, primarily UP, Bihar, Jharkhand, and West Bengal. Again, for lymphatic filariasis, we also have elimination goal.
Despite the challenges for the health infrastructure, India has made strides in its quest to beat NTDs. How has the process been so far?
As far as visceralis meningitis is concerned, we are very close to elimination. So elimination is measured in terms of reduced transmission that primarily involves early diagnosis, early detection through active case search in the community and giving appropriate treatments for visceralis meningitis and PKDL, another variant. The indoor residual spray, which happens in the real endemic high-risk villages, where there are 2 rounds of insecticide sprayed inside those houses and villages which are endemic to sandfly, which is the main vector for visceralis meningitis. For lymphatic filariasis, we have this mass drug administration, which happens where everybody gets the endemic districts across India. We have 3 drugs now it is given, which is albendazole, DEC, and ivermectin.
Right. The number of people affected by snake bites is also highest in India and Bangladesh. Winsley Rose talks about snake anti-venom availability.
Polyvenom, which is actually targeting the 4 common poisonous snakes in India. It is quite effective in preventing death due to snake bite. After a snake bite, it's very important to actually get to a hospital as quickly as possible. Often, supply is the problem. There are places where you don't get snake antivenom, and because of that, treatment gets delayed, and that leads on to mortality.
We asked Priscilla Rupali about the research and development needed to control or eliminate NTDs.
The research has majorly focused on diseases which affect both the temperate and the tropical countries, so the rich and poor countries. So a lot of the research actually gets neglected. But if you look at the WHO website, you'll actually find that they have implemented various cross-cutting programs, and they hope to make them basically control the diseases by 2030. So they've actually enabled governments in the low middle income countries to be able to integrate programs for control of the various neglected tropical diseases into their existing programs. So yes, there is a research imbalance, but I think the world realizes that, you know, we are a global village now.
Right. The task can be daunting. Winsley Rose tells us about the gap between research and development and availability of treatment.
See, we've had dengue epidemics going on now for the past 30, 40 years. In fact, there's been an eightfold increase in the last 20 years. But have we developed one drug for dengue? We have not. Is there any particular drug that can actually deal with the effects of dengue? We do not have one. Do we have a vaccine which is available for anybody to use? We do not have one. Mainly because it actually affects the most populous regions of the world, which are also may not be the most affluent regions of the world.
We asked Kavita Singh, Director, Drugs for Neglected Diseases Initiative, South Asia, about the efforts her organization is making in this area.
Short-term, mid-term and long-term strategies. The short-term would ideally mean that making available a drug, if it is so, one of the short-term strategies is if there are 2-3 treatments available, can we choose which is the most ideal one? Efficacy, the least side effects, is affordable, is available. And that's how we did a lot of work in visceral leishmaniasis, compared 3 existing treatment modalities for Kalazar and identified that a single dose of liposomal amphotericin B is most ideally suited. And we see such excellent results when the program integrated that R&D, that took clinical trials. When they integrated the results of those clinical trials into their control strategy, it went on towards elimination. We have a medium-term strategy in which we look at, can we change the formulation of the drug so that you maybe need less dosage? Maybe the formulation becomes more stable, so it's easy to transport. And the longest strategy which we have, to the riskiest, most, discover new drugs. We all know technologies have changed. We have much deeper biological ways of studying new drugs and their targets. So things we could not have done in the prior era are not possible. And COVID made us aware of many of these. We have been very successful in working with pharma partners. And very recently, we have worked a lot in sleeping sickness, which is, of course, not seen in India. We are doing drug development of a new molecule, an oral molecule for visceral leishmaniasis in a phase 2 clinical trial in Bihar. When we develop drugs for such diseases, usually we will not get pharma companies and partners. So our efforts have been towards open science, partnering with research institutes, and at times also taking support of pharma companies in kind. So it's a very unique model of doing drug discovery.
And what does it look like on the ground for elimination of these diseases, specifically in India?
India has about 12, 13 of them. Some couple of them we have eliminated. National Center for Vector-Borne Disease Control Program includes some of these diseases which are caused by mosquitoes or sandfly. While the Ministry of Health would have another program which is focused on leprosy, there's another program which is focused on soil-transmitted helminthes, or as a strategy roadmap for entities for India, you know, maybe it could be an ask from the government. The National Center for Vector-Borne Disease, it has a very focused program on 2 major diseases of India, that is the Kalazar, visceral leishmaniasis, and lymphatic filariasis, LF. Both these programs are on the elimination radar of the government, with VL being 2023 and LF being 2030. So there's a lot of implementation, there's a lot of international support, there's a lot of donation which the government programs are getting. What perhaps could have been done a little more is research and development. When any disease goes through a different phase of coming under control or going under elimination, the requirement of the tools, whether it's a diagnostic tool or treatment tool, it keeps changing. So that's perhaps in the wish list of people who work in this space.
Neglected tropical diseases continue to pose significant health burdens on some of the most disadvantaged communities in developing countries. The ask is to have a unifying theme of innovations in diagnostics, treatment, and prevention of NTDs to create solutions that are effective, relevant, locally feasible, and sustainable. Neglected diseases are the missing piece to improving global health.
This episode was produced with support from Drugs for Neglected Diseases Initiative.